Coming up on the program, it's a Big Three type of Thursday, and no, Ice Cube is not involved. Nelly Korda, Jin-Young Ko, Lydia Ko are grouped together for the opening round of the CME. We celebrate the group, their year, the excitement for the week, and bring up some of our favorite Big Threes in sports history. Plus, Rory McIlroy is saving a lost year with his play of late, a win last month in the desert of Nevada, and now leading in the desert of Dubai. We'll dive into highlights from Rory's opening 65 at the DP World. And Rory isn't the only superstar playing well. Colin Morikawa, the leader of the race to Dubai, off to a solid start. We'll get into world number two in his Thursday at the office. Let's do it.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet.
Oh, yeah, Golf Today on a Thursday. Damon Hack alongside Shane Bacon. The seasons are starting to come to a close. We're seasonal in our sweaters today. European tours winding down. And, yes, the LPGA playing some golf down in Naples.
We have talked about the Big Three off the top. We've got the three biggest names in the sport all grouped together today. But before we dive into the Big Three, let's just take a look at the leaderboard, because we've got some great stories already kind of shaken out. In Naples, Florida, Leona McGuire, if you remember, opened with 62 last week, was 4-under through four, a couple of pars in a row. We're kind of on the fence about 59 watts, just made a par on a par five, so we'll leave it for now.
Okay.
On the green, you see there, 4-under as well. We'll get into her story here in just a bit. But you see some great numbers on the board early, and you see Nelly and Lydia 1-under as well early in their rounds.
They are in Georgia, sweet Georgia. That was the call Rich Lerner made when she won her major championship. And yes, all eyes focused on the Big Three down in Naples. You see Jin-Young Ko with an early bogey. That's a bit of a bummer.
When you're looking in a necessary need of a win of locks of the week, and we'll get into it in a bit, and one of your locks of the week bogeys the first hole, which is a par five, it shakes you a bit.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking long race here. I'm thinking the marathon. I don't need to get the sprints in right now.
Some players say they don't mind an opening bogey, kind of wakes him up like a little water splash on the face. Are you in that camp?
I just think it's something you have to say.
All right.
What else are you going to say?
Let's take a look at a race in the CME Globe, the top 10. Let's see who's there. Obviously, 60 players playing. Anybody can win. You win the tournament this week, you win the race. But all eyes right now, Shane, on 1, 2, and 3. Jin-Young Ko, Nelly Korda, and Lydia Ko. And they are playing together.
Who might take home this title? Who may take home this trophy? But that has been the season. Lydia Ko even admitting kind of just floating around as kind of the third player in that group.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun to watch today, and really interested to see how Nelly Korda kind of keeps the momentum going. She admitted to being a little bit, you know, you're a little bit fatigued after a win. You're in contention. She had to go overtime in a playoff. You're grinding. It's emotional. The big exhale, the big swing of emotion. At one point, she thought she was out of the golf tournament. Next thing you know, she birdies the last and then birdies the playoff hole to beat Lexi Se-Young and Lydia Ko. So I want to see what the energy level is going to be for her. Obviously, she's young. Obviously, she's talented. And also, she's in her home state, which she said was a big, big deal for her as well.
Dee, you sent a note last night, and you said this grouping is as excited as you've been to watch golf and to watch a singular group on a Thursday in a long, long time. I mean, this is what you want. This is what golf is supposed to present, right?
Yeah.
Let's present the product people are asking for. We're getting these three players grouped together. It'd be nice to see them in some sort of a grouping and pairing throughout the whole week.
Doesn't happen very often. I love what the LPGA is doing, putting these three players together, because they have really kind of colored the season for us from the beginning, the hot start of Nelly. Lydia Ko finding her feet, remembering who she was, the great work she's done with Sean Foley, her coach, who I was just texting with a little bit. I texted Sean yesterday, wanted to get some nuggets on their season. I just missed out on getting in touch with him, but it's been so fun to watch her kind of remember who she is. And, of course, Jin-Young Ko, graceful. Last season, she closed strong. This season, she's closing strong. It's very, very familiar.
So fair to say this is the Big Three of the LPGA Tour, right? This is one of the big threes in golf. Got us thinking about some kind of iconic Big Threes, dude.
Yeah, it doesn't. Why not start at the biggest three of all? You're talking about 34 majors between these gentlemen, Jack and Arnie and Gary Player, and yes, honorary starters for so many years at the Masters, competitors on the course, off the course, friends, rivals, golf architecture, business, the Big Three of golf, which got us to thinking about our own Big Three.
Got you thinking about a particular day on a golf course years ago where the USGA decided to kind of throw the Big Three together.
Yeah, 2008 U.S. Open, Torrey Pines. How about the number one ranked player, Tiger Woods, number two, Phil Mickelson, and number three, Adam Scott. Adam Scott saying, hey, I'm going to be one of the first guys who plays in front of 25,000 people and no one will ever remember what golf shot I hit. Tiger said at the time, hey, I like it. It's exciting for the fans. We're all looking forward to it. I haven't heard one thing that's negative about it. Everyone I talk to is excited. Phil said, I think it's awesome. I wish we did this more. And, of course, we all know what happened. Tiger hung a 14th major championship on the board.
The featured group is now a thing we see each and every week when you think about it. I mean, we have PGA Tour Live. We're focusing on these windows, right? For TV purposes, you see a lot of the big names grouped and paired together. But this was really the first time that we'd seen someone kind of think outside the box in terms of these groupings. Let's put the top three ranked players in the world together because that's what people want to see. That's the groups that people want to follow. That's where the interest lies. It was a kind of almost ahead of its time in the thinking by the USGA there.
And one of the reasons why it was so emotional for the fans and exciting is the fact that Phil Mickelson grew up in San Diego and had won three of the Farmers Insurance. At that time, Tiger had won six between 1999 and 2008. And you had Adam Scott, who at the time was probably one of the best players in golf without a major championship. I remember speaking to Tony Navarro, who was his caddy at the time. I covered Adam's win that year at the Nelson. I said, what's next for you guys? And he said, winning that major championship. Of course, it happened in 2013 at the Masters.
So my big three is not golf specific.
You're going I'm
a big basketball
fan. Off the reservation?
You know, I'm a big basketball fan. And I was trying to think back of when I fell in love with basketball, much like when I fell in love with golf. And it was mid-90s for me. I was kind of an impressionable kid. I was obsessed with the Magic. I was obsessed with Penny Hardaway. I remember my parents took me to a Magic Mavericks game. I grew up in East Texas, so I went to the Mavs. And then all of a sudden, I ran into the Mavericks big three. Now, you got to remember, this is when the Mavericks were not a very good basketball team.
Okay.
They were not great, but they had a big three. And this was the group. It was Jim Jackson, Jamal Mashburn, Jason Kidd. These three were going to be the face of the Dallas
nucleus,
Mavericks.
The nucleus.
Going forward, this was the group I wanted to go see and watch. Of course, it never quite transpired where they hoped it would. But when you go through basketball, D, and I know you're a big basketball fan, historically, we've seen a lot of these big threes.
Yeah.
Go back to the Lakers and the Celtics and on down the line. We've seen this consistently in that sport.
Magic, Kareem, Worthy, Bird, Parrish, McHale. And those three superstars that you just showed for Dallas, think about how great they were in college.
Right.
I mean, Cal, Jason Kidd, shocking Duke, Todd Bozeman, the coach, saying, we just beat Duke, was the big quote from him. And you think about Jimmy Jackson at Ohio State and Jamal Mashburn at Kentucky. These were three of the best collegians of that era. And it just never quite worked out. You got one with Dirk. Nowitzki.
Couldn't quite get there. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Of the big threes of the championship Bulls teams, are you an early big three with Horace or are you a late big three with Dennis Rodman?
I'm kind of old school. I go early. With Horace, yeah.
Very, very.
I go early. How about you? You going with Rodman?
I think I'm going Horace as well. Very, very underrated basketball player. All right, well, today is Use Less Stuff Day. Did you know this?
I did not.
Can I let people behind the curtain?
Okay.
Our producer thought it was Useless Stuff Day, and it is, in fact, Use Less Stuff Day. So we had to just add a space there.
Okay.
We just had to have a space.
Useless.
We do it on social. Today is Use Less. It's not useless. It's Use Less.
Use Less Stuff
Day. So what's something in your golf bag that you never use? Everybody's got something
for
in
sure.
their golf bag. Send a picture of what you have in your bag. We're going to feature you on the show. And D, your bag weighs maybe a couple pounds more than you hope it would. You have some Use Less Stuff Day stuff you could take out of the bag you don't need to use anymore?
You know me, Shane. I'm a bit of a gatherer. I got, you know this. I got like too many golf balls.
Your backpack
is
40 pounds.
It's a mess. So where do I start? So, okay. I apologize to Tavi Wright and the folks that help us, you know, when we're at the compounds and stuff during tournaments. And these are like the cart keys.
These are in your golf bag.
These are in the golf bag.
This is like if you just happen upon a golf cart, you got a key?
Well, yeah, but the assignment was dig through your golf bag to find out some Use Less stuff. This is a key. Like, I don't even know what this key is for.
It does not look like a cart.
It says A103. It could be like an old apartment that I used to live in.
If any golf course is looking for their locker key, A103, Damon Hack has it.
So I'm a swimmer.
In your golf bag. Again, this is in your golf
bag. I'm just going to go ahead and put these on. I'm a swimmer, so these are in my golf bag. My boys play tennis at a very, very high level, so I've got these as well. So I stayed at Bay Hill one time, and I stole the shampoo. I mean, this is like can you pan close to this?
These are honestly in the bag.
This is one of the big three. This is the shampoo. This was in the bag.
In your golf bag.
Because, you know, you travel. You never know if you need to take a shower. You get some shampoo.
It continues.
This is a Rory. My kids have the Rory
clubs.
So
just not on a golf club, though. This wasn't on a golf club.
This is in the bag.
This was not on a golf.
Because, you know, my boys probably dropped the
bag. Gotcha,
cover.
Yeah.
I had to pick it up. I just put it in my own bag.
Okay.
Is that it? I can't see.
You got your swim goggles on.
Two more things. So remember we played Atlantic Beach?
It's a par three team. Very important to have.
And I'm still a member of like Orlando, like the Ritz-Carlton Grand Lakes. This is my members club card.
Do you have to show that when you enter?
Well, not anymore. Okay. But when I used to, when I was an early member. But now they just say hi. I mean, I don't live in Orlando anymore. But Steve Ousley and the good folks down at the Ritz, they let me stay, you know, keep my membership. So
I can't.
This is my golf bag.
I can't get over the keys.
Now I know why it's heavy.
I don't even know why I'm even going to present what I have here. I have this in my golf bag at all times. Okay. It is a bag of just stuff.
Is it like carrots and celery?
No. This is not useless stuff.
Okay.
This is good stuff, but I never use it. So, you know, I've got like tape. If you have a blister.
You and Michelle Wee.
I've got some Tylenol. I've got insect repellent.
Well, that's important.
I've got sunglass. You wipe your sunglass. I wipe your goggles down. There you go.
Thank you. That's fantastic.
I have an emergency that is definitely not edible anymore. That looks like that's going to be a trasher there. Got some Aleve. You got a headache. You good?
That's excellent.
I got an extra bag. This is for your cell phone. On my bachelor party at Bandon Dunes years ago, first day, cell phone completely ruined
in weather, so
I always bring an extra bag. But again, this is in my bag. I mean, I haven't pulled this out of my golf bag in probably years.
But so, between the two of us, can we survive on this stuff? There's no food, though.
If they locked us in studio for weeks,
yes,
I think we'd be good.
I'd put the goggles on and I'd be all right. I mean, this is a good look.
Been doing this show for 11 months, and that is, in fact, my favorite part of golf today. It will never be better than pulling out the goggles and a random head cover. Please jump on social and try to best Damon Hack. Again, I don't know how the show's going to get better. It's downhill from here, but we are going to speak on Rory McIlroy's red hot start. No goggles in that golf bag. No tennis balls in that golf bag. Just pure swings.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet. This season, don't just bet, live your bet life.
And this week, the Rolex Series concludes at the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. A lot of big names in the field. European Tour number one will be crowned this week as the top 50 players on the Race to Dubai standings qualify for the tournament. Rory McIlroy cannot win the Race to Dubai, but he is playing some very, very solid golf, and he has done well in this event and Race to Dubai on this golf course in the past.
2012, shot 23 under, rounds of 66, 67, 66, 66, 23 under, by the way, beat Justin Rose by two. And he wasn't done. Different shirt, different year. The 2014 second Race to Dubai title in 3 years, fueled by that late summer push. Remember the two majors in the WGC? Is that pretty good?
Rory's really struggling with how to hold the trophy. Have you noticed
this?
It's really like, where do I put my hands? I got so many of these.
Oh, my gosh.
Look at all the trophies he's got.
He defended the title in 15. I mean, look at this guy. Rory high to power. And maybe he's working his way back. If you look at some highlights from earlier today.
Hey, I mentioned it off the top, D. Yeah. Kind of saving a lost season is Rory McIlroy with his play late. You know what he did at the CJ Cup? This at the very first hole pours that in. And when he's making 30-footers, you talk about a very, very scary man on the golf course.
Yeah, and we so often look for the big swings, the par fives, the body language. This is second shot with the fairway metal. Oh.
Okay.
I mean, that looks like Rory. That's the Rory we recognize.
3-wood to a front left hole location. He hits it to, 12 feet? That's insane. This for eagle. And the putter is working early.
Get me on the horn with our buddies from PointsBet. Get me on the horn.
All right, we'll go to the fifth. This is the par four. Just in that first cut.
Yeah, and you want to see the wedge game, the short irons, kind of where they are as well. They can get away from them sometime, but not here. A couple feet, you make that for birdie to get to 4-under.
Dialed early. Now it's 7, the par 5. And again, fairway wood from 242. Think about the Irish Open late, fairway woods on that second 9. You think about some of these shots Rory has hit with 3-woods and 5-woods in his career. I argue it's him and Justin Thomas, best in the world with those golf clubs. That one nice with 2-putt for birdie to get him to 5-under par.
Now the 8th hole, par 4. All clubs working.
I mean, he was kind of a little bit of a 59 watch.
Yeah, he's cruising. Now, he did drop a shot on 9, so this is kind of a bounce back opportunity at the 10th, second shot. And hits that to a few feet, makes birdie, gets back to 6-under.
Go all the way up to the 18th, the par 5. Last hole of the day for Rory. This was very special. You'll be seeing this shot on Monday, late in the show, I can imagine. Just cut the legs out from under it. Make the birdie, 65 for Rory McIlroy. And in this event, adjusting race stat, 148 under par is Rory McIlroy. That's 46 shots better in this event than the next best, 148 under. He loves this golf course. He plays well here each and every year. He's off to a great start again.
I feel, you know, I'm a big boy now. I've been around the block a bit. You know, and if I have problems or struggles, or, you know, I should be able to sort them out myself. Instead of looking to others to try to fix my problems, I'm just going to try to, you know, take responsibility a bit. And that's really what I did after the Ryder Cup. I put my head down, spent a lot of time just on the range and, you know, just figuring out, okay, what is it that I do well? What do I need to get back to? And I've always been a very visual player. I've always seen shots. And I mean, I don't know how much of the shot tracer was out there today, but people probably see me playing shots again. Maybe not quite as much as Bubba Watson, but still, you know, that's how I've always played golf and how I've seen the game. And I just needed to get back to seeing it like that again.
You're playing some wonderful golf again. I'm just going to ask you one last thing as well, because I feel guilty when I stand there in the studio with the guys and we'll address Rory and we'll say you've won twice this year, but it's a season where it hasn't quite gone to plan again because of the majors.
Yeah.
What's that like having to hear us talk about that, and how do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I guess I talked about this a little bit maybe after CJ. I think sometimes when you don't play your best, I maybe don't set my standards high enough sometimes. I mean, they're high, but, you know, getting into contention in one major this year, you know, isn't good enough for me. I've done way better than that before, and I know that I can again, especially with how I'm playing and, you know, feeling like I've got my golf game back, basically. So, you know, I'm excited for those four events next year, and I'm excited, as I said at the start of this week, just excited for the road ahead, because I really feel like I'm on the right path.
Four-time major champ. I tell you what, Shane, golf at this point in his life, it's not about physical. It's about mental and emotional. I think we saw it at the Ryder Cup. That's why I thought that those tears at that time were cleansing and that they would be leading to something bigger and better. And I think we're starting to see that. We saw it in Vegas. We saw it today with that beautiful round of 65. I guess my question is, do you agree with that? That it's more about what's between the ears at this point in terms of who's coaching Rory or where his swing is? To me, it's all about motivation level and what you heard from him, excitement level.
And belief. Totally. Yeah. It's all mental for Rory. But, I mean, you know, pros have talked about Rory McIlroy showing up to golf tournaments and they've seen if he's got it or doesn't have it that week. Okay. And by it, it's not about the golf swing. It's about what he thinks he can do. It's the way he walks around the driving range, the way he walks around the golf course, and the way he talks to the media after. I mean, you listen to Rory McIlroy right there, and he's a guy not surprised by 65. He's not surprised that he went out there and fired another good round. This is a guy that expects to do it right now. Yeah. I need more of this Rory during the regular parts of the season. I need this guy out here each and every week at every major championship showing up and saying, I'm the best player here. I mean, you hear Brooks Koepka say this all the time. I mean, I feel like I'm supposed to win these tournaments.
Right.
We need Rory to say these types of things and then truly believe them. And it feels like he's getting closer and closer to that again.
And how about him saying, you know, maybe I don't set my goals high enough? I mean, what a wonderful admission that maybe sometimes he kind of is just kind of not going through the motions necessarily, but maybe not thinking that, hey, I should win a major or two a year. I should win more big trophies than I am. And we talked about it before the show. You know, you want to Quail Hollow. Yeah, okay. And Dubai, a wonderful place where he has wonderful history, but he knows that the expectation level is higher and that he knows that maybe he needs to kind of reset his goals and that two wins in a calendar year for a player of his level could leave him wanting a little bit more.
And just, again, he talked about major championships. I mean, when you're one of the greatest of a generation, you are going to be measured by majors.
Yeah.
And the fact that Rory, it's not that he hasn't won a major since 2014, Damon. It's the fact that he hasn't really got himself in contention much.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about the Patrick Reed Masters, and Rory's right there, and he hits that great shot on two and misses the eagle putt and was really not much of a factor the rest of the day. He really hasn't been there with those last four holes to go in the major championships. And you said it right off the top. Mentally, that's the hurdle.
Yeah.
If you're Rory McIlroy and you never find yourself in contention at a major championship, the 4 weeks out of the year that are the most important for you, It's mental. And for Rory, it's showing up again at these places and doing a little bit of what he talked about in that moment. You know what else I loved he said? I love the fact that Rory goes, I'm back to kind of working the golf ball. We showed highlights there of Rory, and you saw that three-wood he hit at the second. I mean, that looked like a Bubba Watson level golf shot. Look how far right this starts. And it's just a big towering draw to a hole location that calls for that golf shot. I mean, you're talking to a front left hole location. He lands it exactly where he needs to. But it's seeing the shot and believing in it. And I do think that modern players obsess a little bit over the numbers.
Yeah.
They obsess over numbers and the spin rate and everything you do to hit the golf ball dead straight. Certain players just don't see dead straight. Mm. Certain players don't see that. It's not in them. You talk about mental golf.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see golf shots like Bubba Watson. I've struggled with this, D, in my own golf game at time. Sometimes I see a shot and it's not what you're supposed to do. Mm. But hit what you see.
Okay.
Play the golf shot that's in front of you that you believe you can pull off. And for Rory McIlroy, just getting back to being the artist. I mean, I think he got a little too analytical and he gets too technical at times. He is an absolute artist with a golf club. So go back to being the artist, because you can paint some unbelievable pictures when it's locked in.
Who else on property can hit that shot that he just hit?
Not a lot.
Have it land that softly into a par five to a front left pin? Not a lot of players could do that.
Rory, by the way, Rory not the only one out there today, but I mean, Rory played so well. We got to talk about him. These are the players that actually win the race to Dubai this. We call him Morikawa, Billy Horschel, Tyrrell Hatton, Minwoo Lee, Matt Fitzpatrick, a winner at this event last year, and Paul Casey on that list as well. So let's go through some highlights.
That's fair. They deserve a little look-see. Matt Fitzpatrick, first hole, par four, second shot. He's had some great success here at the season ender. Okay. Hitting it the right weight.
Mm.
Just sneak over. You can see the coloration different on that green. Hits it a couple feet, makes the birdie. Shoots in a nice little 2-under-70.
2-under-70. Tyrrell Hatton, third hole.
Oh, we're going to get into him a little bit later.
198. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Favorite golfer in the world to watch play. You never know what you're going to get, but you know you'll laugh and you know you'll smile.
Absolutely. He's the one who held off Rory in Abu Dhabi earlier this year that got me all angry. We put the mean mug on when Rory didn't put any pressure on Tyrrell on that weekend. Here's Colin Morikawa, third hole, par four from the bunker. Recently given the honorary membership for a lifetime on what is now the DP World
Tour. Yeah, for the young man kind of getting his feet wet on the European Tour. Here's Paul Casey, sixth hole, another one of these players that can take home the race to Dubai this week. It will help his cause if he pours in a few of those. He shot 2-under par 70 as well.
Good to see him playing well, one of those 40-somethings from the European Ryder Cup team. Here's Morikawa. You want to talk about somebody who can hit his irons pretty well. I was in the newsroom and got to see this shot a little bit earlier. Man, I mean, just so good. And look at that. The look. Like, yeah, that's me.
He has an iron in hand. It's probably going to be decent, I'll say. Now Hatton at the 12th. This was just, you know, this was a worm. I mean, this thing curled and curved and broke and moved and went right in the middle. That'd get him to 2-under par.
Is that going to be in the nine? Maybe.
I think it might.
It's
right now. It's floating.
We'll see what else
it's
happens.
Right around
this
8,
week.
9, and 10. There's Billy.
Oh, Billy Ho.
Didn't have a great day today. Missed that for par. That would drop into 3-over par. Finally got a late birdie and celebrated. Kind of raised his hands.
Yes.
You know, always a PGA Tour pro go-to. Here's Minwoo Lee at the 14th.
Brother of Minji. Third from over the green. Make that birdie. Get to 1-under. Shot an even par 72 today.
So now Morikawa at the 15th. This for birdie. Curls that one in. Dropped a shot late. Bogey the 17th. But a nice, solid start for Colin Morikawa.
I tell you what. So we look at the Race to Dubai projections. There's Colin Morikawa in the first spot, which he currently occupies. And I have to say, I mean, this is someone who I think is underrated for what he's accomplished already in his young career and maybe on the verge of another big title.
You teased Tyrrell Hatton. We had an unbelievable moment from earlier in the day, and it's time now for kind of Tyrrell Hatton thoughts.
What a strike that is. That serve to actually plug and never be seen again. That's actually disgusting.
You always know what he's thinking.
That was a blade, I reckon. I'd actually miss the entire golf ball.
That was a blade. I would have missed the entire golf ball. We were sitting here a couple of days ago talking who should sit next to Phil Mickelson in a broadcast booth. And Tyrrell Hatton's a name we forgot to bring up. I think he would be incredible to hear commentate on golf.
What's the sports equivalent? Is it John McEnroe? I just don't know. I mean, just the antics, the club throwing, the words. This is disgusting. Remember years ago, it was like telling this caddy, is that the worst shot you've ever seen? Answer me.
I'm being serious. Answer me. Always mic up Tyrrell Hatton, please. Well, coming up, we have some instant reactions to some news around the golf world. D and I will ping pong some of the items that have come across the ticker this week. CME Group Tour Championship, by the way. First round coverage, 11:30 a.m. Eastern on NBC Sports app and golfchannel.com. See, Russell Henley is leading at -3.
Georgia Bulldog, that's a name
that's our,
of
that's
bet.
That's our points bet, go. Name of bet on the site. Go. Can a Georgia Bulldog take home the title? Got some on the board already, and we expected to see some as well. Well, it's time now for some instant reactions to news of the week. You know, we've had a lot of news items come across the ticker, and some, you know, we can spend 3 or 4 minutes on, but some maybe just an instant reaction.
I like this. We'll kind of ping pong back and forth a little bit. You want to go first?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, if you didn't see this on Wednesday, the United States Golf Association announced that the 129th U.S. Amateur will be played at Inverness Club in Toledo, Ohio, August 13th through the 19th, 2029. And when you go through the history at Inverness, it is so incredible, and it's not just major championship history. You go to 2019, the U.S. Junior Amateur. Preston Summerhays takes that home. It seems like Preston Summerhays is going to be a PGA Tour player. He's most likely going to win on the PGA Tour, considering the trajectory we've already seen. Had the Solheim Cup this year. Incredible. Go back to 93, PGA, Zinger wins. 86, the Bob Tway holeout, the Hinkle Tree. Craig Stadler winning the U.S. Amateur in 73. This is a place that produces great championships. Yeah. I think you'll see Inverness more and more on kind of the calendar for these majors going forward, and it should be. It's exactly what you want. It's kind of a classic golf course with some modern tweaks to it to make it accessible for the longer hitters, because you can stretch this place out to about 8,000 yards if you really want to.
I hope they don't have to do that, but I do think it's important that they continue to see these great venues be used. Hale Irwin won a U.S. Open there in 1979 as well. All right, pal, what else do we have? We got the Australian Hannah Green. How about this? Officially introduced as the LPGA's 2021 winner of the Aon Risk Reward Challenge, which comes with a $1 million payday. And she said that this prize was life-changing to her. And this is kind of a difference in the tours. I mean, this is something that obviously hit Hannah, you know, really deep in the soul.
She said, I actually want to buy a house during the offseason, so this gives me an opportunity to actually play comfortable golf. And a shout out to Aon. You know, Aon gives $1 million to the winner on the LPGA Tour and gives $1 million to the winner of the PGA Tour. And it is a big step for brands to do these types of things. And as you said, Aon does this. And of course, Matthew Wolff, who won it on the PGA Tour. I mean, it's a big moment for Matthew Wolff as well. But you're talking about, as you said, life-changing money for Hannah Green. She was so happy and thrilled to be a part of this and playing great golf today as well, just a shot off the lead.
Yeah, Hannah in Naples, Lexi Thompson in Naples as well. Lexi, of course, played last week in Bel Air, Florida, and it wasn't the finish that she wanted, but this is what she had to say to Golf Digest about those missed putts. Hey, listen, of course it was not the finish that I wanted, but I've been working so hard on my game, especially my short game and especially my putting, just to make my putts throughout the whole week. So I didn't make the few that came down the stretch, but it's an improvement. That's really all I'm going for. I have a lot of golf to be played in my life. Just baby steps. That's all golf is. You're going to have failures, but as long as you go from the failures and take the positives out of it, success is the end goal. But just have to take the positives. I'm like, hey, I mean, she was smiling, you know, she was not putting the way she wanted to, but her attitude was good, and it sounds like, Shane, her attitude is good.
Important to see kind of quotes following a bad loss. I mean, bogey's last two holes, both with three putts, one from just off the green, but it was really, really nice for Lexi to react this way. I think it's very, very important to be accountable for the good and the bad, right?
Yeah.
When you play great, life's great, and life's awesome, and I feel like when you look at the week Lexi had, it was a positive putting week, if you look at it that way.
Yes.
If you can look past the last three holes, I feel like Lexi had a great putting week, and she can build on that.
We have not heard the last of Lexi Thompson. And Rory McIlroy, what a gift he is to those in the media. This, he said, following the recent COP26 summit, he discussed the ways he is looking to reduce his global footprint. McIlroy now doesn't just pay what it typically costs to fly privately. He also pays an additional amount to be carbon neutral by the end of the year. Once again, an example of kind of Rory thinking about things outside of his self.
blessed to have Rory in our lives, blessed to be able to cover Rory McIlroy on a week-to-week basis. Rory McIlroy, one of the few professional athletes that I feel like sees everything, kind of sees the world for what it is, sees the what the world could become, and hopes to help the world in a lot of different ways. So, again, Rory, always a gift when he's talking on anything, D, if it's serious or if it's silly.
And how about silly? Speaking of silly, this tweet from JT Poston back in 2020, kind of comparing Harris English and Hudson Swafford. They're the same person. They are. I said it. And he's not the only one who thinks that's true, because on Wednesday, Harris English was asked if he's ever mistaken for Swafford, and here's what he said. I do, for sure. We were roommates in college at Georgia, and teachers would get it mixed up, and even here in RSM classing, there's people that don't know us too well, but it'll be a quick, hey, Hudson, or hey, Harris, and then they realize, wait, after a double take, that's not the one they called us. It's fun. We've obviously gotten used to it since we were 14, 15, or 16, but hey, it's bound to keep on happening, and look, easy to mistake Harris and Hudson, if we're being honest.
When another professional does it, then you can obviously understand why a fan might do it as well. That's great, by the way. Those are great side-by-side.
They're both like 6 foot three. They kind of, you know, they kind of lope a little bit on the golf.
Similar. They play in the team event together. Should we pair them in the team event together? I feel like they need to be in New Orleans paired up together as well. We got plenty more on the show. Line this week of the LPGA season ender. Put on the Tiburon Golf Club for a live report. And Golf Today returns. There's a leaderboard.
On a green.
Tied for the lead. Another birdie.
Back on Golf Today, let's take a look at our locks of the week. You see mine, top 10 finish for Kevin Kisner, plus 400. He's a past champ. I mean, right?
It's simple.
Lost in a playoff.
Clean.
Smart.
Smart. Easy. I got a little advanced with mine. I'm doing this little parlay with Nelly Korda and Jin Young Ko, both to finish in the top 10. It's plus money, plus 125.
Okay.
And they're out on the golf course.
They are out on the golf course, too. But last night, I was searching, you know, Instagram and Twitter as Kira K. Dixon with the aforementioned Kevin Kisner. I'm like, my man looks good. I mean, he looks polished. He looks confident. He looks clean. I mean, only like confirming my belief that he will finish in the top 10.
Kind of monochromatic look
looks
he's got
great.
Going with the Navy. Looks serious. So it's time for a lock of the week look in.
Let's check him out. Let's check out the body language. Oh, the Golden Isles. Beautiful spot. Let's see what he's working on right now. A little wedge play, perhaps. If you got a little tight lie. Oh, he looks good. I mean, that's going to be, that's a 66 today. I mean,
so is
right?
this, how could we make it earlier to look at a player about a bet for 4 days? Can we see him getting out of his vehicle?
Maybe.
Maybe what, getting out of the car?
Cereal?
How he when he drove
what,
to the course?
Starbucks? So, yeah, when you had your coffee? I mean, this
to
is
get
good.
The Trenta, too much caffeine.
The nitro? The nitro could be a little bit crazy. You'd be a little bit heady. I just love seeing Kevin Kisner. I mean, obviously, he's talked about his comfort level. He went to Georgia. He played every year there at the SEC Championship, spent a year after college living there, spending time there. I said yesterday he's kind of a budding Davis Love III when it comes to the Golden Isles. You like that? I don't want to bump Davis Love out of his position there.
I'm with you. I love this. You're obsessed.
Oh,
it's good for the show. It's good for the program. PointsBet's happy. D-Hack all in on his lock of the week on Thursday morning. All right, let's go look at my lock's a week out on the golf course right now. So here's Lydia Ko, not a part of my parlay. I thought about it. I thought about throwing all three in there.
Okay, that would have been risky. Would have been risky. I would have liked it with the big three playing together, grouped together. So this is Lydia's shot from kind of that sandy cart path. Good shot. You go on a two putt from there for par.
All right, here's Nelly. Same hole. Good tee shot. See if she could get this in there tight.
Yeah, number one player in the world. So happy to be back in Florida. She knows the grasses. Good shot there. She'd go on a two putt. Now Lydia again. This is from bunker.
It's at the fourth, and that one up there just close enough to knock it in for par.
Okay.
But you know.
Oh no. Oh no. You didn't.
We saw a few of those on Sunday. The worst, right? Talked about long par saves on Monday's show, and that one just brutal. Here's Jin Young. Started with a bogey at the par five.
Ooh. Oh, okay. That one we can say. That's
She'll knock that in.
All right. You see the big three, the first round grouping. Jin Young Ko got a little work to do.
Very, very early looking. At least they're playing golf, dude.
They are, and they're all smiling in the photo. Let's bring in Amy Rogers, who's down in Naples. Amy, you know, what's been your reaction to seeing these players, this big three, grouped together?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Social media was erupting with joy seeing this grouping for the first round at the CME Group Tour Championship. I mean, this is the type of grouping that we wait to see all year long. The top players in the world playing against each other in the same group, going head-to-head in the biggest moments, what it means the most, and that's what we're seeing here today with number one in the point standings, Nelly Korda grouped with Jin-Young Ko at number two, and Lydia Ko at number three. And Lydia Ko had some pretty interesting insights yesterday to share with the media about being part of this group. She said she told her mom that she feels like the third wheel here, that even though she is number three in the point standings, she just feels like 100 because she was that impressed with the performances she saw from Nelly Korda and Jin-Young Ko this season. She said what's really stood out to her has just been their consistency with each and every shot. And that means a lot coming from someone like Lydia Ko, a former world number one who owns more than 20 records on the LPGA Tour, for her to recognize that in her fellow players. But she felt like she was just going to be a spectator out there today, just enjoying watching these two, and said really the pressure's on them as they're in this heated battle for the Rolex Player of the Year race. But it's an exciting group for sure for us to watch.
Amy, I feel like Bill Belichick would be a big fan of Lydia Ko's approach this week. Just deflect all the pressure. So we've spent a lot of time talking about the big three, if you will. Who else do you have your eye on this week?
Well, with the CME Group Tour Championship returning here to Tiburon year after year, there's a handful of players that have really kind of figured out how to navigate the course here. And one of those I'll be keeping an eye on this week is Brooke Henderson. She's finished in the top 10 the last 3 years, and she loves it here in Naples. She has made Naples her home away from home back in Canada, so she loves being here throughout the winter months, and she's playing some great golf coming in. She finished tied for fifth just last week in Tampa. And speaking of Tampa, two other players who played great there, losing in that playoff to Nelly Korda, Se-Young Kim and Lexi Thompson. Now, between them, they have five top tens here and two victories at the CME Group Tour Championship, and obviously playing some great golf as well, getting into that playoff last week in Tampa. So those are the three I'll be keeping an eye on outside of the top three, of course, that we already talked about.
All right, Amy, speaking of keeping an eye on, where are the Lamborghinis? I was promised Lamborghinis. Is someone out front there at the clubhouse rubbing them down with a diaper? Obviously, the aces that were made last week outside of Tampa.
I kept asking. I talked with Austin Earns yesterday, and I'm like, where's your Lambo? And she's like, I haven't gotten it yet. But it's exciting because this week there's actually a Porsche on the line as well on Sunday. There's some money up for grabs until then. And then a Porsche, just one. So once that one's been won, there's no others on the line like last week where three Lamborghinis ended up being given away. But it'll be exciting next season. I can just picture, you know, at the season opening event with the Tournament of Champions, you know, three Lambos and possibly a Porsche pulling up. It'll be a luxury car dealership at the season opener.
Love it. LPGA getting some Lambos. Amy Rogers giving us all the news down in Naples, Florida. You can't wait till 11:30 a.m. Eastern time to get to watch the best players in the world. This is the season ender. First round coverage, NBC Sports app and golfchannel.com.